Thank you so much for your presence here. You are here with us. You are here with us, Lord, and we just thank you so much. And just may this time be all about exalting you, glorifying you, because you are worthy, Lord. You are so worthy. And we give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So I started a series some time ago on Jesus, and I said I'm probably going to be preaching this the rest of my life because there's so many different aspects to him. But today we're going to talk as Jesus as friend, which is just, anyway, every time I get ready for one of these, I think to myself, oh, this whole topic could be a series itself. Like, I could turn this, we can make a series out of Jesus as friend. But there, if you go on our website, there's the teachings, and I started it out as Jesus as God, and then Jesus as King, Jesus as Seeker, Jesus as Shepherd, Jesus as Provider, Jesus as Warrior and Defender, Jesus as Healer, and today we're going to talk about Jesus as Friend. And just the main reason for this is I just really feel like, you know, so many times we get caught up in theology and we forget about him. Bill Johnson says Jesus is perfect theology. You know, everything we're looking for is in him. And so today I want to talk about him as friend. And this is just really, really powerful. You know, I know I'm going to break it to you all, but Facebook does not define friendship. You know? And we're going to see why as we go through this. Jesus defines friendship. And certainly the world has not taught us what real friendship is. Jesus shows us what real friendship is. And it's interesting because, you know, what I'm going to talk about today, you know, a lot of times we think of it, well, this is like what it would be, you know, between a husband and a wife or people who are committed in that way. But Jesus is, we're just going to talk about what is friendship like in the kingdom of God. And first, you know, we need to understand that God is a triune being. So he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So even God is three, right? So God is in relationship. He is in relationship. And it's interesting that it's not just two people, it's three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it says in Ecclesiastes, we're going to go there, that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Like, there's strength in more than just two. There's strength when you have three. So we need to understand that we are designed for relationship. You cannot live successfully in isolation. And I promise you, whenever you start isolating yourself, the enemy will come in and he will start to kill, steal, and destroy. He will bring in deception. And so it's very important that we live in relationship, and obviously with relationship with, I mean, the world, but with believers who can build us up, remind us of truth, keep us on the path, all those things. That's why it's so important that, you know, we come together as a body. That's why Paul talks about not forsaking the fellowship of the believers. That's the water cooler. It sounds like it's on its last leg. Anyway, so, you know, Paul talks about not forsaking the fellowship, because fellowship is extremely important. It's important for us to come together. And I want to just talk about church. I had shared this with a couple of people, but for Randy and I know Pastor Jeremy and Beth as well, what's really important to us is that we all have a relationship with Jesus, but also that we build relationships with each other, because that's the way we're going to do life. So relationship is really important to us in this church, that we build bonds together. You know, one of the things that really blesses Randy and I is that a lot of times we have relationships with you guys individually, but when we see you joining together and we hear that, oh, you know, this one called this one and this one prayed with this one, or these two went out to lunch together, like, that so blesses us to see you coming together and you building relationships, because that's what church should be. It's about building, that this is a safe place where people can come together and join and be and have fellowship. I remember when we first started the church, it was June of 2015. It was in our home, and January came around, and someone was like, "Well, you know, what's the theme for the year? Like, you know, what do you want to accomplish this year?" I'm going to tell you what our New Year's resolution and our thing to accomplish every year for as long as this church exists. And this is what I said to them: if at the end of this year you have a closer relationship with Jesus, and this church has had some tiny part of that, then we have been successful. That's it. It's not numbers, it's not money, it's not the building we're in. It's whether or not each person has a closer relationship with Jesus. That's a successful church to me. And as a byproduct of that, you now are walking in your destiny, a greater part of your destiny and calling. That's what a church is. And part of that is us coming together too to exhort each other, build each other up. That we come together as friends, believing in each other, supporting each other, building each other up. That's the culture that we should be in a healthy church. And so this is our desire. And so we want to look at how Jesus defines friendship, how the Bible defines friendship. So another thing I wanted to say too is that it's really important to be in the church that God tells you to be in. Okay? Because churches, I mean, we all have the same call, but we have different flavors. Okay? And so there's going to be a church that God has for you. And so it's important to be in the church that God tells you to be in. It's not about convenience. It's not about any of that. It's about being in the church that you know God has called you to. And then a part of that is understanding that you're a part of the body. Therefore, you have an important role to play in the church. Therefore, if you just don't feel like coming to church one day, we all miss out. Because you are a piece of the body, and if the finger doesn't show up, we're missing a pointer finger. So it's really important to understand that it's not just, you know, me showing up or Pastor Jeremy showing up or Randy. It's not about that. Everybody has a piece in this. And so it's not a matter of, well, I don't feel like going to church today. If you're not here, we are missing out because you bring an anointing. You bring a flavor. You bring what God's given to you. You might have a word for a brother or a sister. So we all play an important role in what God's doing here in the church. You matter. You bring your peace when you come to church. And so it's important for you to know that and to realize it's not a matter of, well, you know, what do I feel like today? Be faithful where God has called you. And I know people have life and circumstances. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. I just want you to know you're important. That's what I'm trying to say to you, not you have to be here and we're going to take attendance. That's not my message. My message is you are important, and if you're not here, we're poorer for it. When you are here, we're richer for it. It's not a guilt trip. That's what I'm trying to say. So you're important. So relationships are a cornerstone of our church. So we need to know what friendship looks like. What does friendship mean? I thought this is a quote from Eric Gilmore that I thought was really good. He says, "Relationships are the means by which God will increase different things in your life. God will not give you everything without others. He uses others to increase areas of your life that you need growth in. He's ordained it like this so that in each other we can find more of him than we are able to find by ourselves." Isn't that beautiful? So it's really important for us to come together. We come together on Sundays, you know, like we're going to have a picnic because there's not going to be a hurricane in Jesus' name. We're going to have a picnic next Sunday. That's why every quarter we have some type of a fellowship meal, because it's important that we do relationship. It's why we have men's group and we have women's group, because we want to build relationship. It's why we have Wednesday night Bible studies in our home, and it can be in anybody's home. If somebody else wants to have host the Bible study that we're leading or host the women's group, we can do that. We can work with that because it's important that we build relationships. That's what we want to do. So let's look at what the Bible says friend is. In the Hebrew, the word friend is rea, R-E-A, and it means friend or companion. The basic meaning of rea is in the narrow usage of the word. A rea is a personal friend with whom one shares confidences and to whom one feels very close. The closeness of the relationship is best expressed in terms like brother, son, or part of a family. So it's a real close relationship between two people. And I think of a good example of that is Jonathan and David. If you think of in the Bible, the story of Jonathan and David. A friend is in the Greek means loved, dear, or friendly. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I want to look at some scripture that defines friendship for us, because we need to know the world has taught us a lot of fickleness when it comes to friendship. You know, it's real easy to click like on Facebook. It's real easy to click a heart or a sad face or a little tear face on Facebook, but that's not friendship. That's easy. Let's do Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 9. And I don't know about your Bible, but mine, in the heading of that these scriptures, it says the value of a friend. So it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. See, relationships are important because when things happen, you need someone to come alongside us. We need someone to do life with us. Life in this world isn't easy. And number verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? So we can talk about that in the physical, but we can also talk about that in the spiritual. You know that there's a warmth between two people who have a friendship, who have a caring for each other. Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, and we've talked about this, you know, a lot of times that's used in marriage scriptures about a threefold cord. You know, when you, and it really can be any relationship, if you have Christ in your life and you have other believers, when you two come together and you have Christ in there, that's a threefold cord. And actually, it's a fivefold cord because you get three for the price of one when you get God. And then you have two, and five is the number of grace. So you can't lose. Right? So it's important. If you're overtaken by something and you have somebody with you, you have better odds against that one. You know, it says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, right? So you multiply their odds, even in a spiritual battle. If you call a friend, if you're in a battle, you should be able to call a friend and say, hey, I need you to be praying with me. I'm challenged right now. You know? And so that's what friendship is, according to Ecclesiastes. Let's go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 17. And this is what the world doesn't understand. Proverbs 17:17 is, it's, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, we live in a world where friends don't love at all times. You know, I mean, that's what we're taught. We're taught that that we can be fickle. But this says a friend loves at all times. You know, and it says, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, we just looked at the fact that a friend can be so close that it's considered a brother, right? So a friend, and how many of you have known this? When you go through tough times, you learn who's a friend. You learn who's the one who sticks with you through it. The good, bad, and the ugly, that's when you show and you realize who really is your friend. A friend loves at all times. And so it's not a matter of, is the person behaving perfectly? We're there for each other. We support each other. We walk through things with each other. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So a lot of times people are saying, okay, so you don't walk into a church or a ministry or something like that and say, well, you know, and you're testing the waters to see if people are friendly. If you want friends, you need to be a friend, right? Dan Moeller tells us the story about in his church, there was a woman who came to the church and she sat in the back and he would go over and say hello to her. And she said, this church is so unfriendly. She said, if you didn't come say hello to me, no one would come say hello to me. This church is so unfriendly. And he looked at her, he said, honey, don't be deceived. He said, you are not here to be loved, you are here to love. and you are here. So it's not a matter of, is everyone doing for me? It's if you want friends, then you need to be one. You need to go and love on people. You don't go in there to test the waters. You go in there to demonstrate friendship. You go in there to love people. And I promise, if you make yourself friendly, you will gain friends. That's how it works. That's what the Bible tells us. If you want friends, be a friend. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this is, again, what it was talking about in Hebrews, in the Hebrew language, is that a friendship is so close that it's like a brother. It's something that isn't broken by circumstances. It's faithfulness in the midst of all the circumstances is what a friend is. If we go to Proverbs 27, there's so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs, right? 27 and verse 17. Let's see here. 27:17. That is not the scripture I was looking for. Where is it? Oh, here it is. 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So I have news for you. God didn't bring us all together because we're perfect. We all have rough edges. And I promise that in our body, you will have multiple opportunities to be offended and hurt. I will probably offend you and hurt you, because that's just what happens when you bring people together. But God brings us together because we all have rough edges. And if we work together and we're honest with each other and we do friendship right, meaning we're honest, we talk about things, we don't run out the door because someone offended us, we sit down and talk, it's two people, and we work it out, we will all grow and the rough edges will get smooth. So don't come to a church or anything you do, Bible college, any organization, thinking that everybody's going to be perfect. We're not going to be. We all have rough edges. And so we all learn and we walk through the process. And that's how iron sharpens iron. That's how we learn and we grow. You know, so it's important for us to understand that's the process. That's why you can't do church on the internet. You can't. Because it's really easy to think that you're all loving and everything's wonderful when you're in your own home and you're watching the preacher. Amen, brother. It's what happens when you walk out the door and somebody says something that pushes a button that you get to know whether Jesus is inside or goo is inside. Because when the button's pushed, does Jesus come out or does the self come out? Right? And so the only way to know that is to be with people. And that's when we find out what our love walk really looks like. And it's not condemnation. It's just like we have areas to grow. We all have places to grow. So we have to, we walk through that process. So you can, this, a church body is essential. This is where we learn together. This is where we grow as a family. This is where we learn forgiveness. This is where we learn compassion. This is where we see people after the spirit and not after the flesh. This is where we hold the highest opinion of people. This is what happens. This is what it looks like. It's messy. It's messy. But guess what? If we follow Jesus, he'll work it all out. If we don't run from the process, if we stick with it, he will work it all out. And we all will be stronger individually and as a group by the end, as we walk through it. We'll all be strengthened because that's what God does for us. Let's look at Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is really true, and this is very, very important to us as a leadership team. It's very important. Faithful are the wounds of the friends. Jesus told me that he loved me enough. He loved me so much, he would always tell me the truth. And what he meant by that was he wasn't going to tell me necessarily what I wanted to hear. He would always tell me the truth. And a real friend will tell you the truth. So for us, I mean, even for what I can speak for us as leaders, you need to come if you've got an issue. You need to, you know what I'm saying? Talk to us. We are not perfect. We can miss things. It's important to come if you have concerns about teaching or the way we're doing things or a decision or a direction. It is important that you come and talk.
right? You need to let us know so we can talk it out. A lot of times it's misunderstanding, and we may agree to disagree, and that's okay too, but talking, it's not about festering little things and then everyone gets upset and they walk out the door. That's not friendship. That's not faithfulness. So it's understanding that a real friend will tell you the truth even if it's going to hurt you because they love you. That's important. That's really something to be valued. You know, I don't want ever yes people. I don't want people that just say yes, yes, yes. That is not, that's the kisses of an enemy that are deceitful. That's someone kissing you on the cheek. That's what Judas did to Jesus. He came over and kissed him, but there were people with swords behind him, right? So true friendship requires that you be able to tell the truth to each other and then work it out. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus will always tell us the truth. He's not a yes person, you know? So it's important that we have that. It's important that you know that is valuable. If you have a friend who's willing to tell you the truth, you know, even when it might not be what you want to hear, you need to hold on to that friend. That's an important relationship. It's a very important relationship. You don't want people who are just going to tell you yes. So let's look at how Jesus defines friendship. John chapter 15. Let's see if Jesus lived these things out in his life. John 15. And then these scriptures we're going to talk about, we're going to John 15, 12. But before this, he's talking about abiding. And he's talking about him as the vine. And so at some point, I'll do a teaching as Jesus as the vine, and we'll talk about abiding. But it's coming out of this place. When we're going to John 15, 12. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." So we're going to go look at the scripture closer, but I want to define two terms for you. First of all, I want to define the term love. When Jesus is talking about the love of a friendship, he's not talking about phileo love. He's talking about agape love. And agape love is the love that's not drawn out by the excellency in its objects. It's an exercise of the divine will in deliberate choice made without assignable cause save that which lies in the nature of God himself. So in other words, you know, God can't help but love. He can't not love. So, I don't like the saying God doesn't love you because you are lovely, but because he is love. No, God loves you because you are lovely. Because when he looks at you, he sees the beauty of who you are. And he loves you dearly. Now, your behavior might not be lining up with your identity, but he still loves you. So that never changes. So the love that he's talking about in this friendship is a love of the will. In other words, I choose to love regardless of what that person's behavior is. I love them. And with the Lord, because we see no man after the flesh, with the Lord we can learn to see people based on who they really are in Christ, even if they don't know who they are in Christ. So we can see the best in people, right? Love sees the best in people. That's what 1 Corinthians talks about. This is the love of a friend. Okay, is the agape love. Now, he uses the term servant in here, too, that I no longer call you servants. And that word is a bondman, one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another, one whose will is completely subject to the will of another. He is a servant apart from any service he rendered at any given moment. So it's a word of relationship. Let me just give you an example of this. If I had someone come in to clean my house, and they probably take them 10 hours, but so I have them there for 3 hours, they clean my house. When they come in, right, that person is my servant or maid for those 3 hours, and they're cleaning the house. But outside of them cleaning my house, if I were to meet them in the grocery store, she's not my servant, right? We're just friends, right? We're just two people who know each other. That's not this word. This word servant means this person is a servant and subjected
to the will, no matter whether they're working or not, whether they're cleaning the house or not, whether they're doing what I've asked them or not, they are always in this position of servitude. And Jesus is saying, no longer do I call you a servant, but I call you a friend. And it's interesting to me because I think, so he's saying that, you know, you're not a servant to God, but I also think he's saying you're not a servant to Satan anymore. Because that's where your will has been totally subjected to someone who isn't telling you what's going on, right? And he's saying, I no longer call you a servant because you were a servant of Satan. I'm now calling you a friend, right? Because I'm confiding in you. So if we go back through John 15, 12, I want to kind of work backwards. So we'll go to John 15, 15 first. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So what is part of the characteristic of a friend? It's intimacy. It's confidence. He's saying, I'm calling you a friend because I can tell you things. I can tell you. And if you think about it, the most intimate relationship he has is with the Father. And he's saying, my most intimate relationship I'm sharing with you. And therefore, I'm calling you a friend because this relationship that means more to him than life itself, he's able to share with you from that relationship. So a true friendship has intimacy. It has a place where you can confide in someone and tell them the deepest parts of your being and what's in your heart, okay? Then if we go back to verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, he's saying that because he's taking them out of the servant role into the friendship role, what he's talking about is you do whatever I command you because why? Because we have a relationship. Because you come to know me in a way that you're willing to do for me what I want. If you think about it, if you have a really good friend, right, you get to know them so well. And when you know there's a need in their life or you know what their preferences are, what are you going to do? You're going to do it for them, not because you're a servant and you have to, but it's because you know their heart, they have value to you, they've shared their innermost being with you, and so your obedience comes from, I want to do for you. You're valuable to me. And so the obedience comes out of intimacy and relationship. It's not coming out of a servant mentality. Right? And then if we go to the previous verse 12, greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. So there's a selflessness in friendship. So in friendship, there's an intimacy and a confidence. There's obedience and there's selflessness. It's a laying down one's life for one's friends. Now when I saw this, it was like, wow, what? Of all the different hats we say that Jesus wore, he was healer, he was provider, he was all this, what hat or what role sent him to the cross? Friendship. That's amazing. He went to the cross because we are his friends. Wow. Not because he was a bridegroom, not because he was the Savior. I mean, he was the Savior. But the role that drove him to lay his life down for mankind was because we're his friends. That gives a whole new meaning to friendship to me. He saw us as friends, and that's why he went to the cross. That's amazing, because I think I don't think we value friends that much to realize that. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think we realize the value of friendship so much to realize that that's how precious friendship is to God. I mean, look at Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. I mean, if you look at through the Old Testament, there's friendship there. And what drove him to the cross was because he considered each one of you, each one of us, his friend. Even when we didn't consider him a friend. We weren't good friends, but he was such a good friend to us. He saw us as friends. He knew who we were, that he went to the cross for us. It was friendship that drove Jesus to the cross. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So we know that
So we know that in friendship, like I said, there's three things. There's intimacy, there's obedience, and there's selflessness. If you look at, in the Old Testament, like I said, Moses spoke to Jesus face-to-face as a friend. Abraham was a friend of God. And from the relationship that they had, they influenced others. So like if you're in friendship with God, it's going to influence the people around you. I mean, Abraham, Moses, all those people, their relationship with God, their friendship with God influenced the people that were in their lives. If you look in the Old Testament at these people who were considered a friend of God, they had an intimate relationship with God. God told them his plans. They interceded on behalf of the people. So if you think about it, okay, friendship with God, if we're his friend, he will change his plans. So he becomes obedient to us, right? Because he was going to call fire down. I mean, he was going to destroy the children, and Moses interceded. Abraham interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. So if you're a friend of God, just like we're obedient out of that friendship, if we're really a friend of God, Jesus says, ask what you will and I'll do it for you. So that goes back and forth both ways. So he, as a friend of ours, is willing to be obedient to us as well. Right? Of course, he's never going to do anything. I mean, when the disciples wanted to call fire down, he's like, you know, you don't know what covenant you're of. Luckily, he won't do everything we ask. He's better than that. But if we ask something according to his will, he's happy to do that for us. Why? Because the friendship goes both ways. It goes both ways. They interceded so that Moses, Abraham, they interceded on behalf of people they were responsible for. They gave up their own plans to follow his. They had covenants with God. God was real to them. They obeyed his commandments. They were not perfect. This friendship wasn't based on whether or not they were perfect. It was because they had a perfect friend, not because they were perfect. I mean, that doesn't mean we all run out to be imperfect, but God is a faithful friend. So he doesn't leave us nor forsake us, right? He doesn't leave or forsake us. He's a friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He stays with us during hard times. That's what we saw in Ecclesiastes and in Proverbs. That's what a friend does. He doesn't kiss us falsely. His kisses are sincere. When he tells us the truth, even if it's something we don't want to hear. His iron sharpens iron. A relationship with him will sharpen you. He doesn't need sharpening. We do. So a relationship with him it goes both ways. He is a really good friend. He is the most faithful friend we could ever, ever know. And it's not because he's a yes person. It's because he loves us and he knows what friendship really means. And he laid down our life to protect that friendship, to protect that relationship, because he's a friend. He's with us always. We can share our most intimate thoughts with him. He called his disciples friends, even though he knew they were going to betray him. Right? They were all going to run. They were going to deny him, but it didn't change him from calling them friends. And when he rose from the dead, they were still his friends. He still pursued Peter. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. So then it comes down to us and our relationship with him is, are we faithful friends to him? Can we get to a place in our intimacy with him where he can tell us anything? Can he fully confide in us? Dan Moeller tells an amazing story about when he first got saved. And he was awful to his wife. He was awful to his wife. He was terrible. He was an awful father. He'll tell you all of that. And then God just radically broke in. He got radically saved. And his wife was so fed up with their relationship, she was ready to leave the marriage. She had decided, she had gotten together with some old college friend or something and was smoking pot. And she gets this call from her husband. He's like, I found God. And she's like, yeah, right. You know, because she had just decided, you know what, God, I prayed for 17 years for him to change and you haven't changed him. I'm done. I'm just going to live my life my own way. So she went out and smoked a joint with somebody and she started an affair. And God showed Dan in Dan's private time with the Lord, God showed Dan that his wife was in bed with another man. And Dan's heart broke for his wife, and he started praying for her and interceding for her. And Jesus said to him, "Do you know why I showed you this?" And Jesus is like, Dan's like, why? And he says, "Because I can." And what he meant is he could tell, show Dan what was really going on. And he knew Dan wouldn't be like, "Well, how dare she? And I'm going to go stop that." His heart broke for her. He had the heart of Jesus, which was like, man, if she's doing that, she is really deceived. And I need to intercede on her behalf. And I need to just love her. And she, because she's a broken person, because no person who is whole would ever do that. And so he broke for her. He wept for her. And he never said anything to his wife. I don't know, 6 months. She stopped the affair, but 6 months later, something happened, and she realized that he knew and never said anything. He just interceded on her behalf. And then she came out of that. Are we a friend of God like that? Could God show us? You know, people will say, oh, you know, someone does something wrong, and they'll say, oh, well, God just showed me that this is the issue in their heart. I'm sorry, you know what? If God really showed you the issue in their heart, he would break your heart for that person, and you would get on your knees, and you would pray for them. You would not use that as to defend yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if God, a lot of times it's natural reasoning, and we just do that to make ourselves feel better. No, because if God really showed you what was going on in somebody's life and heart, if he could trust you with that, it would break your heart for that person. And you would, in silence, not to tell everybody else, you would go into your secret place and you would intercede on their behalf. Because that's the heart of Jesus. Jesus isn't running around heaven saying, well, did you see what they did? That's because they have this heart issue. No. You know, if Jesus sees it, he's interceding. He knows if you're acting in a broken way, it's because you're broken. It's because you don't understand who you are. You don't understand your value. And he is interceding on your behalf because he wants you to know who you really are. He wants you to see the value of who you are. And he's a good friend. He doesn't gossip. He intercedes for you. He loves you. And that's the friendship that he's calling all of us to as brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to, this is the standard of what friendship is. I mean, I'm learning every day how to be a better friend to my husband, you know, because we all need to grow in this. What is friendship really like? We have a lot of wounds in the world. We have a lot of hurts because people have mistreated us. But we have to decide that we're not going to be a friend like the world is a friend. We're going to be a friend like Jesus is a friend. And that we're going to do that here in the church with each other, being honest and being able to sit and talk and work through things and see the best in each other and give each other a lot of grace and a lot of love and exhort each other and build each other up. Because that's what we're called for. That's what Jesus has asked us to do in bringing us together, to bring each other up and build each other up. And then when we go out into the world, we're going to demonstrate to them what friendship really looks like according to the kingdom of God. You know, because Jesus showed us, you know, this is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love sees the best. Love suffers long. Love is kind. And that's the friendship that Jesus had with us. He always sees the best in you. Always sees the best in you. And if you're operating at less, it's just because he knows you don't understand who you really are. And so we can do the same thing for each other. Jesus is the best friend that you could ever, ever imagine having. And he is your intimate friend. And he wants to bring you into a deeper intimacy. He wants to bring you into a place where you trust him even more. You can have greater confidence in him. He wants you to unburden your heart. He knows what's in there anyway. Open it up to him. This is like where so much of what we're doing now right now is all about intimacy. The Lord keeps telling me, Melissa, it's not about building the church. It's about building the people. It's about all of us going deeper in our relationship with the Lord. And if we do that, he'll build the church. That's not my job. Our job is just for us to get to know him. We go deeper. He'll go wide, you know? So it's us all going deeper, getting to know him better, sitting quiet with him, letting him be your best friend. Like you've never, ever known a friend. nothing like the world is, to trust him, to open your heart up to him and allow him to be that friend, because he died so that you would be a friend, you could be in a relationship with him forever. He died for you because he was your friend. That's amazing. That's friendship. And that's what he's called us to do as well. Amen? So Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, so much for just teaching us what true friendship is, Jesus. We just let go of all the hurts we've suffered in the world. We let go of all the deception of what friendship is in the world, Lord. It's not based on what people do. It's based on our commitment to love, no matter what. That's what a friendship is. So, Lord, we just thank you that that's the friendship you offer us. Lord, we offer that to you. Teach us for us to be able to be more trustworthy with what you want to share with us, so our heart breaks for what breaks yours, and that our joy is overflowed by what your joy as well. Lord, teach us to come more intimately with you so we can experience greater obedience, not because we have to, but because we get to, because you're our best friend, because we know you so well and we want to please you out of that beautiful relationship. And Lord, teach us how to be friends with each other, to love each other, to be honest with each other, to grow up into you in all things. Lord, may friendship just be the hallmark of what we have here in this church and what we carry out to the world, because you are worthy, Lord, and we want to be a good reflection of who you are. We are so grateful, Lord, that you are our friend. In Jesus' name, amen.